hazards. Now, what are hazards? They are problems that we need to design around. And in the jargon, there's a variety of terms commonly used. In this lecture, we're only interested in the last one, the structural hazard. It's worthwhile just running through a little taxonomy here. So a data hazard and a control hazard you may be familiar with from processor architecture, part 1B or this year's course. The data hazard is when we can't get hold of an operand, its address isn't known yet, or its value hasn't come from where it's stored. The control hazard is where it's not clear whether something should yet be performed, and obviously we can speculate and assume that it is and waste some energy when it isn't, as long as we have a means of undoing any writes. Write after write hazard is where two operations are going to write to the same location. We need to make sure the order of those is preserved, since the second one is the one whose effect is going to persist. Read after write and write after read hazards are a matter of synchronizing reads and writes to the same variables, such that we get the value that when we read that we thought we should be getting, and not one that hasn't been written yet or has been written over already. And the name alias hazard is where we are looking at locations in an array and we don't know if the addresses are equal or not. So we don't know if we have a read after write type hazard, and so we don't know whether we need to strictly order reads and writes to this array, because we'll only get a read after write hazard if they happen to be writing and reading to the same location in such an array. Anyway, none of those matter. The one that I'd like to focus on for this course is the structural hazard, which occurs when we have insufficient physical resources. We have a structural hazard when an operation cannot proceed because the resource is already in use. We're getting blocking interference. Now, what sort of resources might we be talking about here? Well, one of the most important ones is memories. The von Neumann architecture has been criticized for having the von Neumann bottleneck, where we can't read an instruction and an operand for that instruction at the same time, which is why modern processors have separate IND caches. But in general design, a memory has a certain number of ports, and we might occasionally need to access more things than that number at one time, which will give us contention essentially for access to the ports, which we can solve by scheduling at compile time or arbitration at runtime. So memories with insufficient ports is one of the classic forms of structural hazard. We can also have a memory with access latency, which is producing a hazard simply because it's difficult to manage. But if it can start a new operation every clock cycle, then we say it's fully pipelined, and RAM tends to be like that. DRAM is much more problematic, as I'll talk about in another lecture. Synchronous static RAM is often fully pipelined. It takes some number of clock ticks, so we need to schedule around that, but we're not actually getting any blocking because it can complete one operation per port per clock cycle. So another classic source of structural hazards is ALUs. If we need to do three multiplications and we only have two multipliers, then we have a hazard and we need to schedule around that. Again, that's a structural hazard. And then things which are not fully pipelined, which can go busy, take some number of clock cycles to compute, such as a Booth multiplier or any sort of long multiplier, which is going to start, chew away for a while, and then give us a result, then essentially we have a structural hazard while it's busy because we can't issue it with a new command. Anything non-fully pipelined is going to present us with structural hazards of that nature. So a non-fully pipelined component cannot start a new operation on every clock cycle. Instead, it will have handshake wires that start it and tell us when it's busy. Next slide.